Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truths. And excited today, always excited, but excited today for two reasons. Number one, we're starting a brand new book of the Bible, the book of Philippians, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And then I'm here with my very dear friend, Scott Toole, a pastor of Rosedale Baptist Church in Rosedale, Maryland. And Scott, it's good to have you.
It's great to be here, Kurt. And I appreciate the relationship we have.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we enjoy some of the same things, insignificant things like baseball.
Yes.
You're an Orioles fan.
Yes.
I'm a Red Sox fan, which is problematic.
Is unfortunate. It's unfortunate, yes.
For you.
Yes, and especially this year.
Absolutely. But more importantly, we just have a shared love for the Word of God and for teaching and preaching it. And my best friends of the world are people that just love the Lord and love the Bible. And Scott, I count you among my dearest friends. And so I'm so glad that you're here today. I'm gonna read for us listeners, diving right in. I'm gonna read the first three verses of the book of Philippians, and then I think that's all that we'll be able to cover today. But it's important, listener, that we dive into a little bit of the background so that you're able to be enriched in the way God wants you to be enriched by an understanding of the book. So Philippians chapter 1, let me read verses 1 through 3. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints. A saint in the Bible was a person who had invested faith and trust in Jesus Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So it's interesting, Scott, because it's clear to me as Paul introduces this letter, this epistle, that's what an epistle is, a letter to this church, there's a sense of warmth at the very beginning. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Why would he say that?
The time he invested, the heart of love, his prayers that he gave to them, the fact that he planted that church. And I like the fact that it's an established church to the bishops and deacons, to the saints, which are at Philippi. And I'm always curious about his remembrance, what his remembrances would have been, would have been the Macedonian vision, would it have been just Lydia and the demonic.
Talk about that, okay? So the Macedonian vision.
The Macedonian vision where the man was calling for him to come over, to come here. And the Bible says, immediately we endeavored. We endeavored immediately, assuredly gathering that it was God's will. And of course, before that, they were forbidden, they were redirected. And then as soon as they got the green light, they were there. And then when they got there, it was a little different than they imagined because it was a man calling them, a man. And of course, Paul's, as his habit was, as his custom was, going to the synagogue. It seems there was no synagogue there. There wasn't even 10 families, 10 men that would establish a synagogue. It wasn't started, that church wasn't started by a men's Bible study, but by a ladies' prayer meeting down by the river. And when he got there, it was a Lydia. When he got there, it was that demonic girl. And
you know what's interesting to me too, Scott, is that Lydia was a woman of Thyatira. She wasn't even from Philippi. And Paul previously, when he had been in Asia Minor, had wanted to go down to that section of Asia Minor. He had prayed and said, Lord, let me go. And the Spirit suffered him not. And then the vision led them to Philippi, where they reached somebody from the place he wanted to go. God knows where the people are that need to be reached.
He sure does. He sure does. And whether it's a big city, whether it's a small town, whether it's a big first day or humble beginnings like here, God's will is always best.
And have you found that to be true with church planters and people that go even to the mission field, a lot of times the people that are most receptive to initial church planting efforts are transient people. So Lydia wasn't one of the townspeople. She wasn't somebody that had her roots in Philippi. She was too a traveler. She was too a businesswoman that come through, and she more readily listened to Paul coming in. I found it to be true of church planters with whom I've spoken as they've gone to different places, that a lot of times the people that are easier to reach are not the people that are the people that have been there forever. But and that becomes kind of a beachhead for preaching the gospel to that city.
Yes, and I do think they have open hearts, whether it's military bases around that town, whether it's people that are moving in and moving out, whether it's college town, they're looking, they're wanting to connect, and the greatest connection they'll ever make, of course, is with the Lord Jesus Christ.
So I thank God upon every remembrance of you. So he remembers when he first got to the city. He remembers leading Lydia to Christ. He remembers that family getting baptized. No doubt he remembers being imprisoned. Remember in Acts 16, that's the Philippian jailer.
Which the wording then becomes highlighted even more. I thank God. I thank God upon every remembrance. I thank God. They beat him. They laid many stripes upon him. And of course, in Corinthians, he says he was beaten with rods. This is probably one of those times where he was beaten with rods. They put his feet fast in the shackles. They cast him into prison. And Paul, this epistle where 19 times he talks about joy and rejoicing and gladness, this is one of those remembrances. This is one of those memories that he would have. And he's not grinding his teeth. He's lifting his praise, a heart of thanksgiving, even for that.
No, that's so good. So I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Lydia, the Philippian jailer, that jailer's salvation that night when God had miraculously, remember when Paul and Silas that night had sung and praised God, and God shook that prison with that earthquake and all the prison doors were open and nobody went anywhere. Such was the influence of the Apostle Paul. The Philippian jailer would have committed suicide, but instead he met Christ that night, and so did his family. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved and thy house. What's good for you is good for your family. Oh, man. What a great memory.
Yes. And you talk about a non-typical way to start a church, a non-typical way to see that church that has bishops and deacons. Of course, he's writing this 10 years later. He's only been there probably twice, third missionary journey. He came back through, but he's writing this 10 years later to an established church that was founded by a river, demonic girl, Philippian jailer, and God blessed.
Yeah, and what did he really see? By the time he left, he didn't see
Not much. A
building established. He didn't see, there was just a ragtag group, and yet this group, when the Apostle Paul left initially back in Acts 16 and went to the next city down the Ignatian Way, which was the Roman highway, made his way to Thessalonica, this church, Paul said, sent once and again unto his necessity. So Paul didn't have support coming in every month. He didn't go down to his bank and look at his statement. No, if he was going to live, he was going to have to make some tents, work at night, preach during the day, and then rely upon the goodness of people like the church at Philippi that sent him an offering once and again. So think about what that would entail. That's not a UPS package. That's not a drone delivery.
Yes.
That's sending somebody from your church, kind of like what the Apostle Paul references in chapter two, where Epaphroditus had come to, and chapter four rather, where he had brought a gift to them and helped them. And that was an emissary from their church.
Which is why I think you see the phrase soon in chapter one, the fellowship of the gospel, the fellowship of the gospel. Their fellowship wasn't even so much about palling around, though I think that recreation is a good thing. It was about partnering together, giving towards those mission endeavors, reaching people with the gospel, seeing other churches planted, that fellowship of the gospel.
You know, the longer there's that song sometimes that we sing, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows, the more that I love him, more love. So I think the Apostle Paul, now that he has a little bit of separation and perspective and some years have stacked on, he looks back and says, boy, I'm so glad that I did.
Yes.
I'm so glad I followed God.
Yes.
I'm so glad I made those investments. I'm so glad I endured that pain. I'm so glad I didn't give up.
Yes.
Lord, thank you. God, thank you for grace. Thank you for strength. Thank you for every step of this journey, because now I'm beginning to see what God did. And I guess that would be my encouragement to us today.
Yes.
Because in the moment, nobody wants to go to jail. In the moment, nobody wants to see slim prospects as far as, you know, just the, where are the people to reach? You know, there's just this woman down by the riverside. And yet, looking back, Paul saw, wow, God, you did a marvelous work there.
And to live our life in such a way that we can say, I thank my God upon every remembrance.
Can you see a little bit of that looking back even on your own life?
Yes. Yes.
To look back at the experience at Rosedale and say, oh my.
Yes.
Yeah, this is not what I signed up for.
Yes.
When you went there. And yet to look back and see how God sovereignly put those things in place, and then to say, wow, I am so grateful for every single memory, because it was the fingerprint of God on my life in ministry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And maybe that's where you are, my friends, today. Maybe you're going through a situation and you're saying, well, I know I'm following God, but this hurts. I know I'm following God, but people are rejecting me. I know I'm following God, but it just isn't panning out the way I thought it would. Listen, my friends, let God do his thing. Let time have her way. And then when you look back in just a few short years, I promise you, you'll be able to say things like, I thank God. And what a great perspective. I hope you'll join us for every step of this journey through the book of Philippians. We've just gotten started today. And so God bless you, my friends, and we will talk to you again next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.